So this is preparing ourselves for, actually it's a piece of cake with whipped cream and icing on top, called 32 Round Day. Now when we give it that name because when there's a japa retreat, which this isn't, this is the festival of the holy name, we have 64 round day. But many of you have to go back to where you came from, distant places. So we have only half a day tomorrow. So it's 64 rounds divided by 2, called 32 round day. And it's a very nice experience, chanting 32 rounds. Chanting the holy name is a nice experience, and chanting 32 rounds is a nice experience. And doing that in the assembly of devotees is a especially nice experience, and it's actually easy experience. Just came from earlier this month, 2 weeks ago. Is it Seattle for a japa retreat? And as with other retreats, where many people came who don't chant 16 rounds, some people chant 4 rounds. Some people came that had never chanted before. Remember, we had the first one we had of these, this festival of the holy name, was in Oswego, and Lal Gopal brought a friend of his from work, worked with AT&T, and it was the 4th of July weekend, and Lal Gopal said, "Hey, why don't you come to the Festival of the Holy Name?" And his friend said, "Oh, I was supposed to go to the beach." "Yeah, but you can go to the beach anytime. This is a Festival of the Holy Name." He said, "What's that, Festival of the Holy Name?" And he said what it is. And, "Oh, yeah, I'm up for venture. Sure, let's go to, what'd you call it, Festival of the Holy Name? Sure, I'll go." So then he went. And so when we came to the sharing session afterwards, he was the first one with his hand up saying, "You know, I never chanted Hare Krishna before, never chanted anything before, like music, but not anything spiritual." And I thought, what the heck, here I am at this adventure at the Festival of Holy Name. So I learned how to put my hand in a bead bag and hold the beads, and it was really easy. And not only was it easy, but it felt like something I've never felt before. It certainly wasn't like feeling being at the beach on the 4th of July. It was a spiritual feeling, and I really liked it. 32 rounds. I think he was even more than 32 rounds. Everyone was celebrating along with him. It was really nice. So maybe some of you who are here are not accustomed to regularly chanting. Maybe some of you don't even, like this young man, never chant. In Seattle, there was a japa retreat. Next morning came, and first lady with her hand up had a little lap child in her lap. And she said, "I'd like to share." I said, I came because my husband wanted to come. And he chants, to be honest, maybe one, maybe 2 rounds a day, usually just 1. I don't chant at all. I've never chanted before. But he wanted to come, so I thought I would come. So when I came, it was time for chanting, and my child was asleep, and I thought, what the heck? Not like a whole lot of commitment there. What the heck? I'll chant. So someone showed me how to hold the beads, and I started chanting, and it was really nice. I chanted 16 rounds. And everyone went, "Yay, 16 rounds." And I thought, what the heck? I'll chant another 16 rounds. So I chanted another 16 rounds, 32 rounds. Wow, it really felt good. It was really easy. And I thought, what the heck? Then my baby woke up, and that was it. But it was really nice, you know. And maybe when I go back home, I'll start chanting. But I just wanted to share that with everybody. It was real easy being with all of you, and So, if you're not a regular chanter or not a 16-round chanter or certainly not a 32-round, come tomorrow and join the party. And I don't see Jai Jagannath, but somebody can relate to Jai Jagannath. It'd be nice if Haridas Thakur can be with us. Can someone make that arrangement? Yeah, okay. He has a murti of Haridas Thakur that perhaps is as big as Haridas Thakur was. He's big. And Haridas Thakur is the acharya for the chanting of the holy name. Uniquely, by the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not born in a, quote, Hindu family. He wasn't born in a Brahmin family. He wasn't born in a Vaishnav family. He was born in a Muslim family. But from his childhood, he was attracted to chanting Krishna's name. This is before Lord Chaitanya appeared to inaugurate the chanting of Krishna's name. It was a plan. And he would not only chant Krishna's name, but he would chant Krishna's name constantly. And he became mature. He took a vow that every day he would not just chant 16 rounds or 32 rounds or 64 rounds or 128 rounds. Where was it? You add another 64 to 128, whatever it is, 182, something like that. Whatever it is, 192. 3 times 64 rounds every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. And then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And you do the math, and he hardly did anything but chant. Consider, for most of us, it takes, average, 2 hours to chant 16 rounds. Average. So to chant 64 rounds, it's 4 times 2 hours. It's 8 hours. And 3 of those is 24 hours. Every day. That's the day. So he must have chanted more swiftly than we do. Because he probably did some other things like eating and things that you have to do after you eat and taking a bath and maybe a little rest here and there. So, but every day. And I wanted to read refer to one passage from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Rupa Goswami, so this is intended to help prepare us for the 32 round day tomorrow. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami both were born in Vaishnava Brahmana families, but because of the circumstance of their being literally forced or coerced into taking service in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah, they considered themselves to be fallen. And therefore, when they left their government service and took up a renounced Vaishnava life, they regarded themselves as unfit. So one of the humble ways that they regarded themselves is they would not enter the temple of Jagannath. Rather, they stayed with Haridas. When they lived, they went to Puri to stay with Lord Chaitanya. They stayed with Haridas, who also wouldn't enter the temple, feeling himself unfit. We were speaking about humility. So here's Namacharya and Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who felt themselves unfit to come before the deity in the temple. I love describing the humility of our great Vaishnava Acharyas. It's so humiliating. When Haridas Thakur first came to Puri, I'll get back to the verse. There's a verse of Rupa Goswami glorifying the holy name. Wonderful verse, one of my favorite verses. When Haridas Thakur first came to Jagannath Puri, he came with the devotees from Bengal. When Lord Chaitanya had taken the South India tour, took 2 years, he came back to Puri. Lord Chaitanya sent his some notice to the devotees in Bengal to come to Puri because he's now back and they come for the Rath Yatra. So they were, yay, let's go. They had a festival for a week just celebrating that they're going to go see Lord Chaitanya at the house of Dvaita Acharya and Shantipur. And after a week-long festival, they got their things together and they started making the journey from Bengal to Puri. And when they reached Puri, at that time Lord Chaitanya was outside of Puri at the temple of Alalanath, which is a very beautiful temple, very, very serene temple. Because after the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Lord Jagannath goes into seclusion. And Lord Chaitanya couldn't bear the separation from the deity. So he left Puri and went to Alalanath, where he could see the deity of Krishna in Alalanath. But when the deities from the devotees from the, and he was in this mood of separation, intense pain, transcendental mood of separation. So he was in Alalanath, and the messenger came from Puri saying, the devotees from Bengal have left. So nice. He immediately just abandoned his own feelings. Immediately. He abandoned his own feelings and went to greet the devotees. The devotees by Lord Chaitanya was astounding. And went, so he immediately made arrangements that they would each have a garland and some sandalwood because it's hot in the summertime. And personally, Lord Chaitanya applied the sandalwood and personally garlanded each one of them. And then he personally saw that they had residential quarters somewhere in Puri. And there were several hundred people. And it wasn't a resort place like it is today. But he found residential places for everybody. And then he was noticing there's somebody missing. Haridas is missing. He said, oh, Haridas is still out on the main road paying obeisances. Several hours later, he's still paying obeisances, feeling himself unfit to be with the Vaishnavas, just paying obeisances, to be in the Dham. So Lord Chaitanya went to him, Haridas, what are you doing? Please get up. I'm unfit to be in the association of the devotees. So Lord Chaitanya didn't disturb his mood. He made a suitable arrangement for him too, which was near the temple, where he could, on a little raised area, then there's too many buildings you can't see, but you could see the chakra on top of the temple of Jagannath. And there he stayed. Anyway, so nice. Just go on talking about Lord Chaitanya's associates and won't get to the verse. Lord Chaitanya would go every day to visit him. And one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in his hand, maybe some of you who have been to Puri have gotten one of Jagannath's toothbrushes made from a bakul tree. On the end, it's kind of made soft, however they do that with a knife or something, so it's like bristles, and they brush. And then for a few rupees, you get Jagannath's toothbrush to the highest bidder. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya had one of those toothbrushes, and he saw that Haridas was chanting in the heat of the midday sun. So he stuck the toothbrush, the bakul stick, into the ground, and at once a full bakul tree. Bakul has big leaves to provide shade for Haridas. Like that. A miracle, one of many of Lord Chaitanya's miracles. He produced a bakul tree so that bakul tree would shade Haridas. So since then it's been called Siddha Bakul. So there Haridas would sit. In fact, his bhajan kutir is there today. You can go and see Haridas just like in the same pose as Jai Jagannath's Haridas. Only he isn't as big as the one that Jai Jagannath has. And he's chanting the holy name constantly. Rupa Goswami was staying with him. As on other occasions, Sanatana Goswami would also stay with Haridas. And Rupa Goswami was in the process of composing a drama. Actually, two dramas. When Rupa Goswami was in Vrindavan, he was composing a drama about Krishna, and he didn't have a computer, but he had a memory without a computer. He had a big hard drive because he had that kind of capacity to remember things. So he was on his way from Vrindavan to Puri. He was composing in his mind the drama. How that was. That's something like how Mozart would compose a whole symphony in his mind, go for a morning walk, and a symphony would appear in his mind, go home and write it. Like something. He was glorifying Krishna. And as he was traveling from Vrindavan, going, he passed through Navadvipa and then down. There's this road. Now it's a regular road, but then it was just a walking path. And south of Bhubaneswar, on the way to Puri, is a town called Satyabhamapur, thank you. Satyabhama is one of the queens of Krishna in Dwarka. Yes? Satyabhama. So he stayed in Satyabhamapur, and a village of Satyabhama. And that night he had a dream. And Satyabhama appeared to him in his dream. And Satyabhama instructed him, make your drama into two. Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna out of Vrindavan. That will be very nice. And she disappeared. So he took it as an instruction from Satyabhama to make his one drama two dramas. So now he's composing in his mind two dramas. Because he doesn't have a computer and he's traveling on the road. Then he gets to Puri. Lord Chaitanya gives him the association of Haridas. And later Lord Chaitanya said, I understand you're composing a drama. You should make it two. Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna out of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami could then understand Lord Chaitanya is omniscient. Satyabhama who gave the instruction. It wasn't anything else. So it's now two dramas. So one day Rupa Goswami is writing, not just what was in his mind, now goes not into his computer, but he was writing. And Lord Chaitanya came to visit Haridas, as he did every day. And Rupa Goswami was there, and he saw Rupa Goswami writing. And so he was writing on a palm leaf, and he picked up the palm leaf and said, what is this? Is this the book that you're writing? And he looked at the page, the palm leaf. It said, this isn't handwriting, this is rows of pearls. Rupa Goswami's, even his handwriting was exquisite. What to speak of what he wrote. And then he read the verse, which I'm going to read to you. At least the translation of the verse. It's one of the introductory verses of Vidugta Madhava, because the two were Vidugta Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Vidugta Madhava is Krishna in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava is Krishna when he leaves Vrindavan. Although we heard this morning, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But he has a lila of leaving Vrindavan, but he never leaves Vrindavan. So it's a little mysterious. It's a lila. He never leaves Vrindavan. But there's pastimes in Vrindavan and pastimes in this lila of leaving Vrindavan, where he's feeling separation from Vrindavan. Like Lord Chaitanya when he's in Alalanath, feeling separation from Jagannath. Like that. Not, I mean, the scene is different, the bhava is the same. Krishna feeling separation from Vrindavan. Lalita Madhava. So the verse that Lord Chaitanya is reading from this palm leaf is, there's three parts, four parts. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. So attention first goes to the name with two syllables, Krish and Na. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. If you're Rupa Goswami anyway. When the name of Krishna enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. So if you have a problem controlling your mind and senses, learn to chant like Rupa Goswami chants. Then your problem is solved. And in case you're not there yet, you cultivate it. And the cultivation is part of the reason for reading this. It's a meditation, something that you may find helpful in your 32 round day tomorrow or the next day or the next day in your chanting. The next verse says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, Haridas, upon hearing the vibration, became jubilant and began dancing. Just to hear the verse. He was feeling such ecstasy that uncontrollably, not like, you know, entertainment, just ecstatic feelings of the heart, he began dancing. And then the next verse, one has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. I'll read the Prabhupada's purport. This is to help prepare you for tomorrow's 32 round day. It is said in the Padma Purana, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. Chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord cannot be performed by the ordinary senses. Why not? Hare Krishna, there we go, the ordinary senses just did it. Listen. The transcendental vibration of the Lord's holy name is completely spiritual. Thus, it must be received from spiritual sources and must be chanted after having heard from a spiritual master. Because there are people that don't, and they chant, and it's another kind of vibration, without detailing what that other one is. One who hears the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must receive it from the spiritual master by oral reception. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the holy name of Krishna chanted by non-Vaishnavas. There's a lot of that going on, by the way. here and there in yoga studios and things like that, such as professional actors and singers, for it will have no effect. It is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent, as stated in Padma Purana. Avaishnava mukhod gir nam putam hari katam ritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chishtam tapaya. It is possible, therefore, the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement gather to chant the holy name of Krishna in public so that both the chanters and the listeners may benefit. So, this verse by Rupa Goswami was so much appreciated by Lord Chaitanya. He said, I want to hear the rest of this drama, and tomorrow I'm going to bring Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the exalted Vaishnavas here in Puri, and I want to have you explain it to them, have you recite the verses from the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lita Madhava. So they all came the next day, and they sat down at Siddha Bakul. And Lord Chaitanya motioned for Rupa Goswami to come closer so that he could recite. And he just looked at them and didn't respond. Because in his heart he was feeling, I'm not qualified to sit with these exalted Vaishnavas. In fact, he moved further distant away. That was his heart. It wasn't defiance, it was his mood of humility. Although he's in this most exalted position. So when he recited this verse, being upon the request of Ramananda Roy, everyone was astonished. And they said, we've heard glorifications of the holy name before, but nothing like this. See, it's poetry, but it's also practical. And I'll hope to demonstrate. I like this verse. Aditya made a little, because he knows I like the verse, little, what do you call it? Framed it. You know, had it printed up and framed it so it's on my desk. It's something that I meditate upon from time to time or regularly. The elements of the mantra or the elements of the prayer of glorification. So there's the object, the name, and then there's the part of the body that makes the sound, the mouth. So my meditation on this verse goes, there's the name, like, you know, seeing the form of Krishna, the name of Krishna, or the whatever it is, the message of Krishna. And then there's the vibration of the name. So attention goes to the vibration of the name. How much nectar there is in the vibration of Krishna's name, because Krishna's name is not different. So focusing attention on making that sound vibration. And then focusing attention upon hearing the sound vibration. Of course, if you're focusing on making the sound vibration, you have to pay attention to hearing the sound vibration. But then attention to hearing the sound vibration, specifically. As the mouth continues to make the sound, the ears hear the sound. And hear the sound, and attention on hearing the sound, and hearing the sound. And then that sound goes into the heart. And that's the final part. And when that sound vibration enters the chamber of the heart, the mind becomes stunned. And when the mind becomes stunned, the senses become inert. It's a nice meditation on the holy name. Not just glorification, but the process of chanting the name, the two syllables, Krishna. Making the sound, receiving the sound, letting the sound enter the heart. The verse, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha. A verse from the Bhagavatam. where the instruction is given by Narada to Vyas to compose Srimad Bhagavatam so that it can be Srinvanti, Gayanti, and then internalized. Krinanti Sadavaha makes one completely transcendental. The transcendental vibration makes one transcendental. Hearing it, vibrating it, and receiving it. So you may want to, during your 32 round day tomorrow, think of that verse, find it somewhere if you like and have it in front of you, or just the parts of it are simple. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced when the sound is spoken by the mouth. One experiences such happiness that one wants many, many mouths. And hearing is such a wonderful experience that one wants millions of ears. Not just hear it carefully, millions of ears. When it enters the chamber of the heart, the mind becomes inert. The mind becomes stunned. And the senses become inert. We hear properly. And as mentioned this morning, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the basis of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And his teachings, of course, is conducive to awakening love of God, specifically in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, because that was his mood. That's the gift he wanted to give. And so the Bhagavatam has many, many verses in which the glorification of the holy name is explicitly expressed. So one of them is in the 6th canto, chapter 3, where in the process of devotional service in general is being appreciated, and specifically devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name. So chapter 3 from canto 6. Etavan eva lokesmin hungsam dharma paraksmritaha bhakti yogo bhagavati tan nama grahanadibihi. Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Because the beginning verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam expresses that this Srimad Bhagavatam is going to speak about one thing, and that's Paradharma. And all other, just like Krishna speaks, Sarvadharmam Pratyaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. The Paradharma is this which brings one to the position of Krishna's shelter. And that's devotional service, brings one to Krishna's shelter. And that devotional service, Tannama Grahanadavihi, beginning with the chanting of the holy name, brings one directly into Krishna's association. Ready or not, qualified or unqualified, pavitra or apavitra, purified or unpurified, whatever your condition is, whoever you are, whatever circumstance of life you're in, take the chanting of the holy name. And immediately, you're engaged in paradharma. How merciful is the holy name? No prior qualification, no purascharya vidhi in the language of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no prior rituals that you have to do to get ready to do this yajna, as there are prior rituals before a yajna. None of it. There's just the holy name. And the holy name is so powerful it can deliver one from material existence, as we heard in the 12th canto, chapter 3, verse. can deliver one from material existence. And all the turmoil and contamination of Kali Yuga. Here's Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the previous verse, Dharman Bhagavatan, or religious principles, are Bhagavad Dharma. The principles described in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, or in Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam. What are these principles? Question mark. The Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaita Votra. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are no cheating religious systems, like we were discussing about Arishta and the ostentatious way that such things are placed before the public eye. Everything in the Bhagavatam is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam further says, Savai pungsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje. The supreme religion is that which teaches its followers how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adhoksaja, beyond the reach of the experimental knowledge. So it begins with tan nama grahana, chanting the holy name of the Lord. After chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy, one gradually sees the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and the transcendental qualities of the Lord. This way, one fully understands the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Harinam Chintamani, these are just some glories that help us appreciate this wonderful gift that we've been given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the holy name. Just like examine this wonderful gift so we can feel gratitude in our hearts to what we've been given. In the last chapter of Harinam Chintamani, what Prabhupada has stated here in this purport is described in a whole chapter, or a good part of one chapter, where the holy name directly reveals the form of Krishna. And then when the form of Krishna is revealed, within that form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna are then exhibited. And the qualities of Krishna are fully recognized when Krishna then exhibits his pastimes. And all this is accessible within the holy name. And he explains. Listen carefully. It's not that from chanting the holy name, then voila, the holy name, the form of Krishna will appear. Like there's two things. He says it's one thing that within the holy name, the form of Krishna is there. And the form of Krishna is revealed within the holy name. He gives another further explanation. And then within that holy name, the form of Krishna appears, then the qualities of Krishna are disclosed. Krishna is like this. His eyes are like this. His smile is like this. His dress is like this. His features are like this. His kindness is like this. Then his pastimes further embellish or illustrate the form and the qualities. The pastimes then unfold. Haridas then said, it's like the holy name is like an ocean. Kali Yuga is an ocean of dosha. Bad, false. But the holy name is an ocean of nectar. Everything is within the holy name. When you're chanting 32 rounds with the devotees tomorrow and you hear this sound, many people have characterized like bumblebees. Bzzz. After the honey, where's the honey? Bzzz. Chanting and chanting, where's the honey? Where's the honey? The honey is there in the name. He said it's like an ocean of honey. And as in an ocean, sometimes there's big waves. That's, you know, the form of Krishna will arise from that sound vibration. That's the big waves. And the qualities of Krishna, they're compared to the small waves. And the interaction of the small waves and the big waves is the exhibition of Krishna's pastimes, his form and his qualities mixing. His pastimes are then exhibited in the heart of the pure chanter of the holy name. So we're not eligible to see Krishna's pastimes because he only appears once in a lifetime of Brahma. We've got a long wait. But one can see the unmanifest pastimes of Krishna by this method, by the unalloyed chanting of the holy name. The pastimes of Krishna are exhibited, the form of Krishna, his qualities of Krishna, not just reading something from a book and then imagining, but directly experiencing, as Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, pratyaksha agavgamam dharmyam susukam kartamavyayam. This teaching of Bhagavad Gita, and with it the chanting of the holy name, is meant to give direct perception of the self. So there's the individual self, but how can we see the individual self without the Supreme Self? So self-realization and God-realization, they occur simultaneously. And the medium for all of that is the holy name. Boy, time really passes quickly. This class is supposed to end at 6 o'clock. It's 6 minutes to 6 o'clock. Our tea is at 6 o'clock? Yes, Maharaj. Okay. So, those of you that will be with us tomorrow, well, two things. I recommend, three things I'll recommend. Recommend anticipation. So when you take rest tonight, anticipate this wonderful opportunity of being with all these wonderful devotees and chasing the nectar, bumblebees, drinking the nectar of the holy name together. Anticipate that experience, diving, plunging into that honey pot with many other bumblebees. Don't worry, there's plenty enough honey for everybody. Another is get sufficient rest. We'll have kirtan tonight. Don't eat like too much prasadam tonight. Take rest at a good hour. Get up early. And I know certain family is going to be up probably at 2 o'clock in the morning. And your sons just love this day out of the year. And chant early. Mangalarti, chant nicely. So then after Mangalarti, chanting together. And then don't eat a big breakfast. Eat a modest breakfast. And then, because you might torpedo after, and then chant, come back again in the temple room and chant together, and you do like that and you'll have a fantastic time, guaranteed, or your registration feedback, no problem. No problem. And one of the things that we are requesting is, especially people that have a tendency to talk. Some people are more reserved, but some people have a tendency to talk. It's Mona Vrata tomorrow. Mona Vrata means no talking. If you have children, you have to talk to your children, but do it quietly, and you get the idea. And if devotees have finished 32 rounds and they wish to continue chanting 32 rounds, fantastic. Otherwise, according to the schedule, I don't have the times memorized, but upstairs and pointing to the prasadam hall, we can have a little kirtan, unamplified, little soft kirtan up there for people that finish early and want to chant that way. And then otherwise, we'll just follow our schedule and then we'll meet according to what the schedule says and we'll do some sharing. And the class tomorrow will be shorter than this. It'll be like a mini Go Team Go class. Okay, so any comments or questions before the conch blows? you all prepared. Yes. Here comes back to Mike.
So one may hold ill feelings towards or like misconceptions of other devotees. So this sounds like not properly honoring other living entities.
Yes,
so
it's important.
Probably an obstacle towards the chanting. So
sure.
Is this one of the like the anarthas which can be removed by more chanting, or is there?
Is it ruled by
more chanting?
More chanting.
You had explained there are four types of anarthas.
Yes. Yes.
They can be removed.
It can be remedied by more chanting. Yeah.
Or are there? Is there any other steps to take for this?
Well, yeah. A really nice one is we hear from scripture how qualified devotees honor other devotees. And then we go, wow, that was nice. And then we follow in the footsteps of those qualified devotees to honor other devotees. That's a really nice one. It's part of culture. How does a cultured person know how to be cultured? You know, it's not like a boarding school where you put a book on your head and you learn how to stand straight by discipline. But it's more of the spontaneous loving exchanges amongst devotees and how devotees honor other devotees. Is that addressing your question? Not exactly. You got that question mark on your forehead.
I was just going to... the thought was coming... It did address the question. The thought was coming... So this is like mental offense. Is this like mental offense?
Mental offense?
When you're holding misconceptions or like ill feelings.
It's not exactly offense. Aparadh is when you like... You do one of those. You vilify the devotee. The other is you may not be holding the right mood in your heart. You're not done an offense. I may very well come out in the form of action or speech. So it's good to check it on the thought stage. And then, you know, redirect that energy towards glorification and appreciation. See the bhakti, and in a mood of service, how can I be of service to this nice devotee who is carrying this bhakti and like that? How do I go about that? How do I navigate this territory when I'm not very advanced myself? Which is kind of where the question comes from. So we see how advanced devotees do and we follow in their footsteps. Nice to be around advanced devotees and to read the scriptures regularly. That helps. That's the cure. Along with lots of chanting. So let's do some more chanting. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.